Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. God is indeed concerned what you think. God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is November 23, 2025. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. Bible study at 9:30 a.m. Worship at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. We meet again on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for midweek Bible study. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, and also at FM 104.3. You may also listen to us online by streaming at thesoulofdayton.com and WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414, or email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith, for faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Keep this in mind, that the way we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and New Testaments, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, and also Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? Today, we are blessed to have a guest speaker with us, Kevin Berry. Kevin is a gospel preacher from Lima, Ohio. Kevin has been with us in the past, and it is great to have him again. Oh, welcome again to Landmarks for Living. As I said earlier in our introduction, this is Richard Melson. Due to some technical difficulties, our guest, Mr. Kevin Berry, is not with us. Hopefully, he will be able to log in and we'll be able to get him on the broadcast. But this is the broadcast before the Thanksgiving holiday in the United States. And I thought that during this particular broadcast, we would look at and consider some things with regards to what the Bible says about Thanksgiving and how that each one of us can give thanks to Almighty God in the proper way. And that is what we intend to do today. We hope that you have come and will consider with us what God's word says about Thanksgiving. You know, oftentimes Thanksgiving is called by many in our country. It's oftentimes called Turkey Day, looked upon because it is the time, it is that holiday when individuals love to cook turkey as well as other things. But that's what they, you know, it's the buying of turkey, a buying of ham. A lady was picking through the frozen turkeys at the grocery store, but couldn't find one big enough for her family. She asked the stock clerk, "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" Stock clerk replied, "No, ma'am, they're dead." While the New Testament does not promote any holiday as a holy day, we are given the opportunity to exercise liberty in Christ. And therefore, we can take advantage of these festivities that our country provides to express our gratitude to Almighty God. We do promote that which God emphasizes in the various forms of thanks. The word thanks is used in the scriptures 142 times. And it's important for us to consider that Thanksgiving is an opportunity that we can express our gratitude toward God. Thanksgiving is an expression of joy Godward. And there is the fruit of the Spirit that we're so thankful for those who are in Christ, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Believers are encouraged to abound in thanksgiving. The giving of thanks is indeed a proper thing to do. You know, there's a lot that God's word has to say with regards to thanksgiving. And we would be remiss if we did not consider all that, or at least some of what God's word has said concerning the giving of thanks. And so let's consider some of these things today. And probably one of the key thoughts that I want us to emphasize, and if our guest, if he comes in, we will pick up on this, and that is that Thanksgiving improves our perspective about ourselves. When we say thank you, we are saying, in effect, that we are not self-sufficient. Giving thanks curbs our ego, and it brings us down to size. We humble ourselves. It is a reminder that while capable and responsible, we are needy and dependent. Oh, that everyone would remember that important point. Dayton, are you listening? We're reminded that we need God and the people of God. From a historical perspective, we are reminded about from what Abraham Lincoln wrote in the Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1863. Lincoln wrote, quote, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue in our own lives. Intoxicated with the unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. Close quote. Lincoln understood the necessity of understanding that we need to say thank you to Almighty God. We need to realize that we haven't done it ourselves, but that it is through the great grace of Almighty God that we are who we are. Second, we would observe this. There is something extremely healthy that results from us making the words of Psalm 100 our own. What are those words in the 100th Psalm, do you ask? Well, open up your Bibles, please, to the 100th Psalm, verses 1 through 5, and let's read together. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You know, the Lord encourages us to come before him and, to understand that it is he who is the one who has made us. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Third, we are reminded of how we need each other as people of God. According to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 6, God's people realize that we have a relationship one to another. We need each other. Paul to the church at Philippi makes this point, and we see that there is this relationship that God's people share one with another. We love each other, and we love to be around one another. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And to the church at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, does not the Apostle Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Our arrogance is addressed when we discipline ourselves to be thankful in all things. Genuine thankfulness will improve our perspective about ourselves by helping us keep ourselves in perspective. You know, someone said, if we learn how to give ourselves, to forgive others, and to live with thanksgiving, we need not seek happiness. It will seek us. Oh, what a wonderful thought. You know, we need to be mindful of these various and these specific things with regards to thanksgiving. You know, in Psalm 50, verse 14, the psalmist lets us know that we are to offer to God thanksgiving and to pay our vows to the Most High. Here's a kind of sacrifice that God desires. God wants the contrite heart expressing gratitude unto Him. We should not draw the conclusion that God did not require or approve of animal sacrifices. But God is telling us about a higher sacrifice that is necessary. The sacrifice of thanksgiving that comes from deep within the heart of man. While the animal sacrifices under the old law would be worthless unless they were accompanied with the heart. Keep in mind that the specific mention of thanksgiving and paying one's vows are indications that it was precisely in these two areas that otherwise acceptable worship was rejected by God. It was the absence of thanksgiving which plunged the Gentile world into darkness, Romans chapter 1, verse 21. These two keys unlock heaven's gate, and the absence of thanksgiving coupled with stinginess on the part of the worshiper will bar the door to heaven. The psalmist declares in Psalm 98 and verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Dayton, are you listening? As we continue on and as we think about Thanksgiving, we come to another passage in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 105, in verse 1. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. O give thanks. The psalmist here calls on his audience to offer thanks unto God for what the Almighty has done for Israel. Particularly does he encourage praise through song. Songs have, through the years, effectively conveyed a message. The admonition here to call upon his name has been rendered by some as call him by his name, address him by his proper title, ascribe to him the attributes which properly belong to him, or address him in a proper manner. You know, to call God by his name or in his name is to do or acknowledge his divine authority in our life. The New Testament equivalent of such admonition is no doubt found in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, where the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to pen, "And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Dayton, are you listening? You know, listen to these passages. Psalm 106, verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever." Proverbs 3, verse 9. "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase." Of course, we would be remiss if we did not remember Philippians 4 and verse 6, "Be careful in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Colossians 1:12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Then in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 7, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." To the church of Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 7, 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And as we summarize this, it is the word of the Hebrew writer in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15. "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Dayton, are you listening? You know, we want to learn how to give thanks to Almighty God. God wants us to offer thanksgiving to him. And it is in this season of thanksgiving that we come to understand that thanksgiving also improves our perspective about God. When we give thanks for what we have, we are forced to think about God, the great giver of the greatest of gifts. James chapter 1 and verse 17, "Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. God is the giver of all good gifts. And he is the giver of the greatest gift of all, Jesus the Christ." The scripture lays out for us what God has done and reminds us to be thankful for it. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. We need to be thankful for what God has provided for us in salvation. Romans chapter 6, "But God be thanked, that though we were the slaves of sin, we obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which we were delivered." We're to be thankful for God's indescribable gift. Paul would say toward the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable indescribable gift. Speaking of Jesus, our anxiety is addressed by giving thanks. When we thank God for all that he has done for us and given to us, we focus our attention on his grace and his power. What Paul says to us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The word thank and the word think are from the same root word. And this is no accident. The two words have much in common. Thankfulness grows out of thoughtfulness. And our focus on giving thanks should cause each of us to think carefully about all God has done for us. And when you think about all that God has done for you, doesn't that move you to come to him? Dayton, are you listening? You know, as we conclude this morning, Charles Dickens said that we are mixed up in America. He suggested that instead of having one Thanksgiving Day each year, we should have 364. Use that one day for complaining and griping. Use the other 364 to thank God each day for the many blessings he has showered upon us. You know, Dickens may have been on to something. Are you listening, Dayton? Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. God has a plan of our redemption. He wants us to believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of them who diligently seek him, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, that Jesus is indeed his son, John 8 verse 24, that by faith we would repent of our sins, Acts 17 verse 30, and by faith, we would make the good confession that, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then, by faith, surrender to water immersion, the only way to have our sins forgiven. And once arising from that watery grave of baptism, begin living a life of thankfulness to God. Dayton, are you listening?